Right, so, as you know, we've been covering the foundational scriptures of the church for the last, what, we've had 3 weeks, 4 weeks now?
4 weeks.
4 weeks. And we have three more to go. This week is another support post that goes into the foundation, and it comes from Romans 8, beginning with the 31st verse. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition, exposing God's self to the worst by sending God's own child, is there anything else God wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare to even point a finger? I want those of you who are out there that have been told by other churches that you weren't good enough, hear that verse loudly and clearly. Who would dare to even point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins that are listed in Scripture. For they killed us in cold blood because they hate you. We are sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. But none of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I am absolutely convinced that nothing, nothing, living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Savior, has embraced us. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. I should be done preaching now, right?
Nope.
I mean, no, how do you add to that?
We still know better than that.
But listen, I want you to follow this along because we have been connecting the dots of why this church is directed by the scriptures that we've been giving you each week. The first week, it was what? We laid the foundation. It was Matthew 22. And that is, remember the Shema from the Jewish prayer? They get up in the morning and the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your being, with all your mind. And the second is like it, and that's to love your neighbor as yourself." And then, you know, people, you get that and you go, okay, I got that. And what have I directed you to do? When you get out of bed, go over to the mirror. Take a look at that image in the mirror and look at that image. Hello? Look closely at that image. And you can repeat this. You are wonderfully and uniquely made in the image of God. And that is more than enough. And of course, now you're ready. You're ready to leave the bedroom. Go get a cup of coffee. Do whatever it is that you're going to do to get ready for the day. But what's the second part after we've got that foundation laid is the first support post that comes from Micah. What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do with our day? Micah said, it's clear. You know what God is looking for us in us is to be fair and just. Fair and just. Be compassionate. Or in the older traditions, they say be merciful. In other words, be forgiving. Don't try to take advantage of people. And the people that take advantage of you, be willing to forgive. And oh yeah, take God seriously. Amen? And then, somebody said in this whole conversation, okay, so I know how to start my day and I know what I'm going to do with it, but how about all these people that I run into? How do I know whether or not the stuff that they're putting in front of me comes from God? Well, we've got an answer to that too, amen? James 3:17, wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. Folks, if they're not holy and they're not there to get along with you, then it's not God's wisdom, amen? I told you last week or the week that I preached about this, I think the greatest line for this that we can have is came out of that movie, Oh God. If you remember that movie, those of you who are young may not have seen it, but you Google it. Oh God, with George Burns. George Burns plays God. And there's an evangelist in there that's trying to tell John Denver how to have his conversations with God. Typical in their evangelism, telling everybody what they should do and how they should think. And at the end of God talking to Denver, he turns around and looks at him and says, and by the way, would you give a message to that guy over there, meaning the evangelist? And Denver says, okay, what? And God says, tell him to shut up. I love that, because that's what this verse is. If people are not presenting to you as being kind and holy, they're there to fight with you, don't give it a second thought, because it's not coming from God. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings. Not hot one day and cold the next. It's not two-faced. The only way that we can have a good community is if we've done these three steps. We've declared God in the center of our life. We've declared God's creation of us as being good. We love one another as we love ourselves. We know that God wants us to be fair. We know that God wants us to be merciful, and we need to be humble in that relationship. And so that means that the same message that's coming from God is going to be the same thing. It's going to be about love. It's going to be about mercy. It's going to be about lifting people up. And then, of course, the next thing is, well, okay, how do I do that? How do I get through my life? What do I do? How is God going to determine whether or not I got a place with God? You know, because everybody wants to ask that question, right? You go to high school, you go to school, you want to get a grade at the end of the semester, amen? You want to know how you did. Well, Matthew 25 tells us how God is going to make those decisions. And by the way, for those out there that are going to sit there and say, but you've lost this argument. There is nothing else in that whole salvation talk. There's nothing else about whether you got to be gay or straight, whether you should be transgender or not, whether you're married or not, whether none of that stuff. It says clearly, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me. I was naked, or as we say in Georgia, naked, and you clothed me. And they all sat there and said, whoa, wait a minute. When did we ever see you in any of those conditions? And what was Jesus' response? When you did it to the least, you've done it to him. So if you want to know how to take these other three foundational scriptures and put them into practice, find somebody that's hungry and feed them. Find somebody that needs your love and your compassion or maybe your forgiveness. And maybe it's just as simple as a hug. Now, there are going to be people out there that will tell you that as part of Gentle Spirit Christian Church that you belong to a group that's a bunch of heretics. First of all, I've given you foundational scripture that if you did nothing else but follow those scriptures, your life would be completely different. Amen? The people around us would be completely different. But then, what do we say to all this? To the people that criticize you because you're not good enough, because you don't have the right friends, because, oh my God, what are we faced with every day? We're faced with illness. We're faced with financial problems. Where are we going to live? How is this going to get done? What are we going to say? Except this. God loves you. God embraces you. And nobody out there can drive a wedge between that and you. You know, folks, it's easy to get depressed sometimes. I get it. That's our humanness. That's us being humans. We have sometimes what I would consider a limited vision and perspective. We see life from the backside instead of the front side, right? We see it racing by us. We don't always understand what God's hand is actually doing. One of these days we will. And when those days come, we will be able to say without doubt or hesitation that we know all things work together for the good of those who love God and has called us according to God's purpose. The promise, that promise that Paul has written about today, that we celebrate on that first Sunday of Advent, which is about what? Hope. That is the promise that will anchor us in this troubling and confusing world. It is the promise of our security. It is the promise of our comfort. It is indeed our hope. God bless you this morning. Amen.